I have not always just been strong. So I didn't just wake up and I was 100% okay. You know, it's just been a journey. And I definitely believe that people, you know, should be patient with themselves when they're healing. It's a process, you know. So I may have not been able to speak like this a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. But now that I'm here and I've gone through what I've gone through, I'm able to speak the way that I speak and being able to share some insight from, I guess, a little bit of a more healed place than maybe where someone else might be in their journey. It was really my faith and just navigating different parts of my life with a different perspective, because what I might have thought when I was much younger that, like, hey, I'd be this in a company or I'd be working in this, you know, organization or all the different things that I thought for my life, getting sick changed that perspective, but it didn't mean that I had lost my purpose.
Hey there, welcome back to your favorite podcast of all time, Sakina Speaks. My name is Sakina Ishabani, and I'm your host, doing the absolute most on this platform where we come yet again to have the conversations and discussions about the issues that matter. Conversations with ordinary Africans doing extraordinary things about the issues that plague our continent. And starting this month on a very powerful note, I wish to highlight one conversation, one issue that has really plagued a lot of women across the world. A lot of women are suffering with it right now, but this is an opportunity to create awareness to liberate those who have been living silently and suffering silently with this ailment and with this issue, and to just remind them that you are heard, you are seen, and there is a solution. There is a sisterhood, there is a community, albeit there might not be a cure, but we'll find out more about that later in this episode. So please do join me on the special episode where we shed some light on endometriosis, a silent yet impactful health condition affecting millions of women worldwide. So let us uncover the challenges, some of the myths and the triumphs surrounding endometriosis as we strive to raise awareness and promote understanding, most importantly, not just for these women that thought that really excruciatingly painful periods were just normal, or some of the symptoms that they were experiencing were just conventional and they just had to take it as it is, but also for people of the opposite sex and other women that just might not understand or be able to put themselves in these shoes, so that we can help each other in the little ways that we can, and most importantly, not patronize those who are going through this condition or downplay. Let's break the silence, you know, once more, and empower those who navigate this often misunderstood journey. And to do that, I have none other than an endo warrior who's doing an amazing job just on social media, just living as a beacon of hope and light, you know, shedding light on this really interesting but also quite painful ailment for endometriosis. And her name is Bonke Moka, and she is doing the most on social media, Instagram in particular, and that's where I found her, where she has just dedicated her life to helping others who are in the same situation, helping those that do not understand the situation, just to, you know, be more knowledgeable, but also to be able to treat their condition and to live a full life to the best of their ability. So thank you so much for taking the time out, Bunte, to have this conversation with me. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I'm so honored to be here and just to share about endometriosis, as you have mentioned. So thank you so much for your time.
Once again, Bunda is not just championing this conversation when it comes to endometriosis, but let me say feminine well-being and feminine health in general. She's also, as of recent, you know, the co-host of the Periodically Speaking podcast, together with a previous guest that we had on the podcast, the Minister of Menstruation, Candace Chira. So it's also a super honor to have you even in that capacity. And I know that you're going to be able to share from like a serious wealth of knowledge and just experience on this journey that you've traversed for quite a while. So as an endo warrior, what does a week like this, Endo Awareness Week, essentially, what does that mean to you? Like, of what significance is this week to you?
As an endometriosis advocate, it's essentially the introduction of Endometriosis Awareness Month. So the first week from the 1st to about the 7th or the 8th, if I'm not mistaken, that's pretty much like where we're just like trying to share information about endometriosis and excuse me, the significance. I think for me personally is really just like looking back at how much I've personally overcome, because the reason I even started, sharing like on a personal capacity was because I was trying to heal from endometriosis myself. And so I think this week is really about sharing information, sharing new information, because I think with time and as there are more people that experience it or more research gets done, we gain new knowledge about the condition. And it's really just to, I think, share like what's new in the space, what's happening, or what needs to happen, because there's still so much work to do. I think it's a time for platforms or organizations to like show that, you can donate or just help out different communities, different individuals in terms of finances for whatever the cause is. I think it's just a time to find ways and methods and treatments for those that are suffering with endometriosis to find like healing, and yeah, just putting it all out there for those that don't know about it and those that are struggling with it to find a step closer to getting healing, if I can put it that way.
And what exactly is endometriosis for those of us that don't know?
What I would say endometriosis is, I guess, just to give like a book definition, and it might be a little bit outdated, but I'll just explain. So it's pretty much tissue similar to the lining of the uterus. It grows outside of the uterus, right? It causes severe pain. It's known to be a whole body disease, with new information. As I mentioned before, endometriosis has now been found in the whole body, if I'm not mistaken. So in the lungs, in the bladder, there has been a case where it was found in the brain, so people just need to understand that it's not just the uterus or just outside of the uterus, but it is a whole body disease. It causes painful periods, sometimes abdominal bloating, nausea, fatigue, can result in infertility. There's just a whole lot of different symptoms that come with it, and I think the cases are so different for different people. But it's a complex condition because different cases are different. But people should understand that it ranges with stage 1 to 4, 4 being the most severe. But if it's stage 4, that doesn't mean you experience the most pain. You could have stage 1 and your pain could be excruciating. You could have stage 4 and it may not be that painful. But just to sum it up, it's a condition, a whole body disease, can result in infertility with a number of symptoms. The cause is still unknown. There is no cure. However, I definitely believe that it can be treated and healing is possible. That's essentially what endometriosis is.
Now, what kind of like diagnosis do you receive? Because it doesn't have a cure necessarily. This tissue can basically show up or grow almost anywhere in the body, as new information is coming up. And of course, the fact that there's still new information and a lot of people are not aware of it. Do you think there's like significant research that has been done on this? Do you think it's given like enough attention, enough funding?
So I think let me answer that in two ways, because you mentioned something about diagnosis. So to get a diagnosis, you would essentially, go for a pelvic exam, ultrasound, biopsy. But the gold standard for getting a diagnosis is through a laparoscopy, which is surgical. And so generally that still is taking what, about 7 to 10 years, sometimes 12, 15, at times 20 years for people to get that diagnosis, which shows that there's still a lot of research that needs to be done, because you find that people that have endometriosis potentially know more about their condition than, and not to insult healthcare practitioners or anything like that. They obviously are doing great in their capacity, but you find that someone with endometriosis maybe has done so much more research and is trying to know so much more, because they have to advocate so much more for their own bodies and what they are experiencing. So I feel that there's still so much more research to be done, because you still find a lot of people still not knowing about it. And even if you go to the doctor at times, you find that that won't be something that someone might suggest or recommend to get checked out. Oh, I mean, maybe you just, have a low pain threshold, or it's like, oh yeah, well, maybe you have irritable bowel syndrome or something, you know? So I think more specialists need to be in the space and doing research. But I still think there's such a long way to go, especially if it's like, oh, we don't know where it came from. We don't know how to cure it, you know? So it's just, there's so much. And I think the diagnostic delay just goes to show that there's so much research to be done, so much work to be done, you know? So.
And the current treatment that you get, is that stuff that you basically started using or acquired through like your own personal research, as you said, or is it recommended by the doctors? Do they give you accurate treatments, or is it just like pain alleviation medication and stuff like that?
One thing about endometriosis, right? And I kind of always say this, where it's really trial and error, and it's not a one size fits all when it comes to treatment, right? So something that would have worked for me may not necessarily work for the next person. So, for example, when I got my diagnosis, I was recommended a particular birth control pill, surgery, or one other method, you know? And for example, like if I chose to take the pill, I've heard plenty of other people saying it's not great for them. But for me, it could have been amazing, you know? So I don't know if there's an accurate or like a one kind of thing that works just as a blanket for everybody. I think it just depends on like how severe it is for each individual and where they are at in terms of their healing and what they particularly need. However, because you know, just to give you some background, I'm at a space where I'm now a survivor of endometriosis, if I can put it that way. You know, I kind of got clearance of my endo, and because I had been diagnosed with fibroids and had surgery for that, I got to, I guess, get clearance that my endo and fibroids are clear, we're all good. However, it's just still managing the symptoms that I'm still experiencing after the fact, right? But I'm still taking, say, painkillers or supplements that might help a good number of people, but we're not gonna use the same things. Our bodies are not gonna respond the same way. So, I mean, there's hormonal therapy. Some people try acupuncture. Some people get excisions, you know, through the laparoscopic surgery. There's just a variety of ways to manage these symptoms, but I think it's really finding what works for your body. And if something works for you today, it might not work tomorrow. And that's sort of, it's a continuous thing that you have to just try to find for your body, you know what I mean? But I definitely, in my heart, believe that healing is possible. It's just finding those ways to manage your symptoms. And so I'm also a big believer in homeopathic medication, you know, just the traditional medications, you know, Chinese medication, herbs, the food, changing your diet, you know. So I
Yes,
believe in those.
yes.
I think they definitely work, but it's just really finding what works for you.
And for how long have you been on this journey of healing from endometriosis?
That's a great question. Honestly, since I found out that I was diagnosed, it's been a constant healing journey. So I don't know if I'm at a place where I can say I'm 100%. And I think that's why endometriosis is, I guess, considered a chronic condition. So I don't like to attach myself, or rather like my identity, to what I'm feeling, if it's the pain, whether it's trauma or even endometriosis, whatever condition I've dealt with. I don't think that's what makes me me, and I don't want to just constantly be on this like I'm healing, and never be fine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's literally since 2019 I've been trying to manage these symptoms, and I've significantly progressed from the day I was diagnosed, and even before that, because it was years leading up to that moment of pain and going to the doctor and not knowing what it was. You know, it's just been years of that. But I'm at a point where I'm doing so much better, but I'm just trying to live my life beyond just the pain, if I can put it that way. So I'm still healing. I don't know if I'm at 100%. I hope one day I will be, but it's still constant healing. And I mean, I say this all the time as well, that healing is never linear. You know what I mean? It's up and down. One day is like really good, and I think other endo warriors will relate, where like on that day where you're good, you want to do everything. You want to climb Mount Everest, and then, you know, the next day or the next 2 weeks you're recovering from that. You know what I mean? So it's just still a healing journey for me, and I'm still on it.
A huge shout out to you, by the way, for getting as far as you have and using your voice and your experience just to sort of echo the voices of those that can't articulate what they're going through or that don't even know where to start, you know, just helping them to navigate this really gruesome journey for those that it has been really gruesome for. Because, you know, when you don't know what you're dealing with and you're just going through all of these symptoms or, you know, the pain, et cetera. Because I've also experienced really, really bad period pains, and I don't necessarily, you know, even the thought of like going to the doctor and trying to get a diagnosis to know whether I have endometriosis or not is also really scary. You know, I think there's also that, you know, what would that sort of mean for me? Like, how does that sort of alter my life? I know in my case, maybe it's what you referred to before, like eating habits, drinking water. I know that like I really don't drink enough water. It's quite embarrassing. All of those memes you see on social media about drinking water, they're probably referring to me. So, you know, there's stuff like that. There's drinking water, there's eating regularly. You know, I usually like skip breakfast and it's not even intentional, but it's like I'm late, you know, by the time I and then you like halfway through the day and then you're like, oh, I didn't eat lunch. Then you like quickly nibble on something, and then you there's that as well. But I think another myth in all of this, besides just the fear of the diagnosis itself, is thinking that endometriosis or the symptoms or the pain only comes during the time of menstruation. And this I learned from your page, actually. And I'd just like you to elaborate on that. Like, what does a typical day in your life look like? And is it just limited to, is this discomfort or the symptoms that you experience just limited to that time of the month?
Yeah, so I mean, I love that. I think definitely people tend to think it is just on your period. And I would say that sometimes in a month, you know, when you're dealing with endometriosis, you maybe have like about 3 days in the month where like you're really good, you're okay, it's quiet, you know. But I think besides that, it's the time before your period, it's the time afterwards. It's a time where maybe you've been triggered by something and are having a flare up, or it's inflammation caused by this. Maybe, you know, it's all the time. And sometimes I say that if someone with endo says, I'm in pain now, it's most likely that they've generally always been in pain. But by the time they're telling you, they're probably at like about a nine with their pain. And then when they say, I'm really, really in pain, they're probably at about a 15,
Sure.
16 with their pain. So I think it's just like this lingering pain all the time, especially because, you know, you can have like, say, bloating or like leg pain, back pain. And it's like, I might look okay, I might function, I might do these things, but like I'm generally always in pain. You know what I mean? And then there's other things like fatigue, or you can't sleep at night because you're in pain. So now your whole day is impacted, or you know, you eat something or drink something that you're like, oh, I thought today might be a little bit better, and then you're recovering from that. It's maybe a little bit worse on your period, but it's a constant thing that you're just dealing with. Before your period, you might feel this maybe pain in your ovaries, and it feels like it wants to fall out of your body. Or I don't even know how to describe the pain, but it's still excruciating. But you kind of just like sit in it because, I mean, like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? I think people around, or at least personally, it's like, oh, people around are probably gonna get tired of hearing that I'm in pain all the time, because it's like, it's so unbelievable. It's like, okay, how are you in pain all the time? Seriously, like, out. So you don't mention it all the time, but I think it's an all the time thing, and it may not be the same for every single person dealing with endometriosis, but generally it's most of the month, which is why I think when it's a good day, possibly you'll find someone either wanting to rest or do the most on that particular day, because that pain-free moment is like, sometimes it's like it would catch me off guard at times, and I'd be like, wait, hold on, wait a minute. You know, kind of you anticipate those moments that like you're going to be in pain again, you know. So for me, I'm at a point where I have a whole lot more pain-free days, but it's still like, this is weird, because I think the norm for someone with endo is like there's just always something always like comes up, and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm used to that. I'm used to being in pain. I'm used to taking this many painkillers. I'm used to You kind of anticipate the space of like dealing with something, whether it's even the nausea or the headaches or the brain fog, actually, just all of those things that come with it. So it's constantly throughout the month, day after day after day.
Obviously, this has had, or this can have, a huge effect on how you just go about your day and go about your life, on your relationships, on your overall quality of life. Like, you seem like a very positive person. You seem like somebody that has sort of set yourself down and said, if I'm going to be in pain most of the time, I might as well make the most of the times when I'm not. And just like you said, not center my identity or my life around the condition. Of course, when this was a reality. First of all, how did it affect your relationships, affect the way you just went about things? I mean, you need to work, school and all of that. Like, how did that obviously affect you? And how did you then, or how do you manage to juggle everything and still be able to enjoy your life beyond just, I'm managing this, I'm trying to deal with this and cope with this, or I'm just trying to be good, like to feel good enough to just be able to go to work today, or to just have this conversation, or to just grab that coffee.
Funny enough, I actually never really considered myself a positive person, because I just thought that like I saw everything like, yeah, but what if, yeah, but and I will just cover everything you kind of asked, or at least try to. It's really because I got to a place that I had given up, like I had fully given up, and not to trigger anyone or anything like that, but I was really struggling with my mental health, and part of it had to do, with my own trauma and just other things that I was trying to heal from. But just the mental like impact of being in pain all the time had also really gotten to me, so I just was like, I don't know who I am now that I'm this person who's constantly in pain, So I had gotten to a really dark and low place that what even mentally I was experiencing was, I guess, playing out physically, if I can put it that way, fruition in terms of like my pain, my body, and it got worse, right? So I was not fine. And I think the Lord spoke to me in that season that I was like in a dark space and my faith changed. So I have never wanted to give up from that point. So, I'm just giving that background because, like, honestly, the grace of God and Him giving me a little bit of strength to go on, which is what I guess helped me start this platform. And I, again, you mentioned in the beginning that I'm on Instagram and I share. But at that point, it was really because I wanted to share for myself. Like, I was trying to be okay. I was trying to pull myself out of a space that I just didn't know how to deal with. And so I guess God carried me, and from then I've just had faith that there's more, there's more healing that's possible. I was just curious enough, I think, to stick around to find out what that more could be, So in terms of how it may have affected my relationships, my work, school, and stuff like that, like it was really difficult because just before getting my diagnosis, or rather years before, I was probably like 15, 16, and I was dealing with pain. And someone actually recently reminded me that, like, wow, oh my gosh, I remember you used to complain that like you're in so much pain, your period, and just like, and I was just like, I can't believe that it was so long ago, 30 this year, and for someone to be like, yeah, no, I remember. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm not going crazy, And then for me at like 25 to basically be completely deteriorating in terms of my body, like I had lost so much weight. I couldn't even walk. I was in so much pain. I was always like limping. I was bent over because I just was holding this pain. And then eventually, seeing a doctor and getting a validation that, like, okay, this is what's going on, was just like everything for me. But in that period of time, because I had gone to study full time again, I missed my lectures. I missed a semester, in fact. And then I ended up taking a year off. And I think that's why my faith in God, like, kind of hasn't gone away, because in that moment when I was like, okay, I'm so sick, I missed a semester, I keep missing things, I can't even hang out socially because there's a lot going on. That's when, we had lockdown. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess. Yeah, for me in that moment, everything worked out, as terrible and as sad a time that it was. For me, it's like, okay, I'm giving you this time so you can heal, so you can recover, so you can do what you need to do so that you can come back either to share your story, to be able to be consistent again with like my uni. And yeah, I guess for me, everything lined up, and it's only in hindsight that like one is able to see that everything really does work out. And I mean, I'm even have like a supportive partner who knew that years back then when we were dating that like I would be in pain and he would be so gentle with me. So I think even having like a good support system has been like amazing in terms of family, in terms of a partner. It's been a blessing for me, and I know it's not the same for everyone else. So I don't share or try to spread awareness from a place of privilege, but to be like, you know what, I know that it's like this, it's not the same for everyone, but we can all find, I guess, some kind of healing. And I mean, I try to make it like relatable where it's like, okay, what's the easiest way we can all be okay? You know what I mean? So yeah, I think for me it was really my faith and just navigating different parts of my life with a different perspective, because what I might have thought when I was much younger that like, okay, I'd be this in a company or I'd be working in this, organization, or all the different things that I thought for my life, getting sick changed that perspective, but it didn't mean that I had lost my purpose, if I can put it that way. So yeah, eventually I've just gotten to look at things a little bit differently. I know I said a lot, but that's pretty what's kept me going.
That's absolutely beautiful. Honestly, it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of strength to just get through even like a period that is just extremely painful. So I'm just thinking of that, like just that, and just trying to like, yo, it's even like a, oh my God, like I can't even try to imagine being in that kind of pain every single day. Like obviously the Lord was definitely with you, because it's not everybody that could survive that. Like some people wouldn't want to live anymore, you know, some people wouldn't be able to mentally take that. And it just speaks to obviously the amount of strength and again courage that you have and that you've been empowered with. So like kudos to you for sticking it out.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I mean, it hasn't been easy. I don't want to just say that like, oh, I was just so strong, because I wasn't. There was plenty of times that I wanted to give up. And sometimes I have not always just been strong. So I didn't just wake up and I was 100% okay. It's just been a journey. And I definitely believe that people, should be patient with themselves when they're healing. It's a process, So I may have not been able to speak like this a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, but now that I'm here and I've gone through what I've gone through, I'm able to speak the way that I speak, and being able to share some insight from, I guess, a little bit of a more healed place than maybe where someone else might be in their journey. So it's not just like a thing where I've just always been this way. It took some time, a lot of time.
And what were some of the practical things that you did to get you to where you are now? You've mentioned prayer and just connecting with your God. What were the other things that you practically could almost recommend to other people to try in order to get to the place where you're at now?
So initially, when I first got my diagnosis, I changed my diet and I was consistent with that. I've struggled with being consistent now, but I, was very aggressive in that diet. I went on an anti-inflammatory, I guess, anti-mold diet, if I can put it that way. Removed gluten, removed dairy, reduced sugar, reduced a lot of things. And I would say in 6 months, I saw the difference. And then that's when I also tried homeopathic medication. So things like Endo and Verdant Vitex products from Panaxia International, a lot of things with turmeric and ginger. I'll try to put into my diet now. Again, because I like tea and coffee, I had to change, like, say, what I put in terms of milk. So I would have coconut milk, rice milk, oat milk, just the alternatives. And in terms of painkillers, Sinaleve was great. Marpredol is good as like an everyday thing. If it's really severe, I end up going to the doctor, getting an injection, because sometimes if you take a painkiller for too long, at least personally, like then it stops being like effective. You kind of have to like talk, so you have to like change so that you're not just like completely not responsive to these medications, you know. So I would definitely say detoxing every now and then as well. That was another thing I did. At the time, I also did like a colon, what is it? Hydrotherapy. It might be strange for people, but I would definitely recommend it. It was great. Like I'm speaking right after I got my diagnosis. So for me, I also got into a birth control pill, but as I mentioned before, it aggravated my symptoms, but I've heard other people saying that it worked great for them. So I would say try it. If your body responds, then stick to it. So even with like diet or anything that I've tried and used and that I still continue to use, it may be different for someone else, you know. So I definitely think try what you can. Another reason, you know, why I started sharing is because sometimes access to these medications or treatment or surgery is not people don't have access to it.
Yes.
Right? It's expensive. It's a lot. And so I try to think of ways where people can find natural remedies or easy ways to find healing. So I would say if you fall into that category where it might be difficult to find things like yarrow, which is a herb, is great. You make it as a tea. Fenugreek is great. Raspberry leaf tea is fantastic as well. Again, like I said, ginger, chamomile, turmeric, anything with cinnamon as well. Those things are great, you know, and staying away from dairy and anything that might cause inflammation and increasing on things that will help in terms of the bloating and that sort of thing and support your immune system. So if you're really not one getting the laparoscopy to have the excision of endo, then try diet, try foods, try exercise. Some people say it works really great for them. I've had my own issues with that where, you know, sometimes it would take me so much longer to recover once I've exercised one day because pain, you know what I mean? But it's easy, no matter what you do. Take it easy, get some movement, get some sun. Again, it's not a one size fits all. And it's not just like I can't put a blanket over everybody and say that, or just change your diet or just have some herbs. It's, you know, it's not necessarily going to help anybody, especially with the pain aspect, because like I might maybe eat better, I might participate in, say, some gym classes or get some acupuncture and all of those things. But the truth is that endo might reoccur even if it goes away. And like there's just no known cure, you know what I mean? So finding what works for you and what you can manage it in the particular time, moment you're in, just do that. And I would definitely just say, just take it one day at a time, you know, and that's, I think, the best way to approach it, one day at a time.
Now, you mentioned having a supportive partner, taking it one day at a time, and just giving yourself the chance, just taking a deep breath and trying to make the most even of those really good days or the few moments of good in the really bad days. What kind of support, in addition to that, were you receiving throughout this journey? The medical support, for example, the just from friends and family, or even from strangers, or from accounts where you got information or books, whatever the case may be, whatever that just helped you on this journey. What was that? And was it enough? You mentioned medical practitioners not being able to really pinpoint or diagnose this quick enough. And obviously that meant, return appointments or having to go to multiple practitioners, et cetera, et cetera. Like, what kind of support did you get from, let me say, from the healthcare system? And do you believe that it was enough?
What I will say is that, and I think a lot of other people struggling with endometriosis can relate, is that there's a lot of gaslighting that they deal with being misunderstood, whether it's, you know, in the healthcare sector or whether it's with family members, friends, where it's like, but what do you mean you're always in pain? Or what do you mean this is what you're experiencing? You know, like I told you before, the if I say I'm in pain right now, I might not look like it, but I'm probably sitting at a 10 right now. But for me to like be screaming and yelling or you know, looking like I'm over the top, my pain level might be at a 20 now, you know. So when you walk into the ER and you're like, I'm in pain, I need some pain management, or I need to see a doctor, I need surgery, whatever the case is, it's possible that you might find someone just walking in looking okay-ish. Of course, you might find, I guess, doctors, nurses, whoever saying, ah, but you know, you can wait, let's just put you aside. And then it's like, no, but I can't, I need assistance right now. And so there's those return visits. So there's just sometimes people that don't know, maybe there's not enough specialists. There's some that just either, like I'm saying, they don't believe you. You know, there's just like so much where, like, if you're not going to, say, private hospitals and stuff, you might not get the help you need. So I think in terms of like South Africa, I'm not sure what it's like in other parts of the world, but I don't think there's enough specialists. And I think also it might have to do also with like a cultural thing, maybe with like women expected to just be strong and mbokotos. I think there's still that underlying thing where it's just like, yeah, but what do you mean you're complaining about your period? Just like, you know, get on with it. That might, you know, be playing out in the healthcare sector. So there's still a lot, you know. For me personally, it was only here and there where I would struggle with people saying like, oh, but you know, maybe yeah, your pain threshold is low. Maybe you're just stressing, you know, all those things. And it's like, no, but I know what's going on with my body. What do you mean? Some people that maybe I couldn't get the surgery because, you know, the doctor maybe didn't care enough, or someone wanting to do too much because they're trying to make a sale and give you all the medications and give you all the surgeries just so they can make a quick buck, you know. So it's like all those things you're dealing with.
That's
And eventually,
crazy.
I did find a doctor that cared enough and I got the help that I needed. And for me, I've mentioned also on my page that like homeopathy, I think pretty much saved my life. You know, I saw the benefits of that and being consistent with that. I saw how helpful it was. And I was also fortunate to have like a great doctor who I guess was in sync in terms of also believing in like the Bible and stuff like that. So it helped align my journey and just like getting better. So I think there's like a lot of being misunderstood still that happens. But I've been fortunate also to say have access to medical aid, whereas most people don't. You know, so the experience might be different for so many other people. And if you're not accessing, say, top healthcare and stuff like that, you might be dismissed way more than even someone who can get like good doctors. You know, it's still a lot to do, but I've been fortunate enough to like get enough help.
No, absolutely. And in this journey, obviously, where you're being misunderstood, where you're just trying to get somebody who not just validates the experience in the sense of like gives you worth or whatever, but just somebody else to like agree that no, listen, she's actually not going crazy. She's actually going through what she's going through, the surreal experience, and you're gonna have to get to the bottom of this. Like you mentioned that as an endometriosis patient, a lot of the knowledge that you get or the treatments or whatnot, unfortunately, has to come from like your own expedition, to just find information, to find treatment, to find ways, just how to get help. Where were you getting this information? Like people don't have access to medications and things, but where could they almost find out, okay, do I have endometriosis? Do I not have endometriosis? Like, and when I do find out that I do, what's next? What do I do? So how did you sort of like, I don't know if it's piece
So
that together or just navigate that situation where you're like, okay, there isn't enough information. Where did you then find the information, the credible information, the help that you got to the point where you could start relaying this information to others?
yeah, so I mean, I, you know, at the time that I got my diagnosis, I was looking for other places to just find this information, you know, and I didn't find that in South Africa. I found like the UK, the US, but I'm like, okay, but what can I do when I need to go to Pick n Pay or I need to go to Dis-Chem? Like, what's here for me? Because I can't fly to the UK. I can't go to the US hospitals. Like, I can't, you know. So I struggled finding the community in South Africa. So I thought, well, let me try to be the center and maybe bring these people together. And that's when I discovered that there are so many people. You know, I'm not saying I'm the first one to ever experience it or the only one at that time. I just couldn't find it. It wasn't as visible. So starting that platform, I think, really opened up something, at least for me. I discovered so many more people and the community in South Africa. And yeah, I mean, I guess in an international space as well. But I was able to find, say, what someone else might have used or what works for someone else. But that was also because I was going on my own journey and just hoping to find people, because I'm like, oh, if someone else is in this position in the particular region I was in, maybe they can come here, you know. It wasn't my first time dealing with endometriosis. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I saw it as a child with my own mother. You know, she dealt with it and hers was quite severe. So I saw her sick all the time. I knew what it was very young, and I knew the things she did to I guess, help her healing process. And even those things may not necessarily have worked for me. Unfortunately, she ended up with a full hysterectomy. And I just felt that, okay, what are things that we can do? One that is non-invasive and that can potentially stop one myself and others from getting to that point, because that may not necessarily be a cure. It's just a difficult, I think, point that some get to where it's so severe and you end up getting a hysterectomy, So I just, for me, was trying to find things that worked in a non-invasive way and then just like sharing that with other people. So it was really seeing things from my own mother and then trial and error in terms of what I was trying.
What do you wish that people knew? Like friends, family, people that didn't understand, maybe. Or literally just anybody who is not standing in your shoes. What do you wish, or what would you like them to know when they're dealing with somebody that has endometriosis? What should they do, or how should they go about it? How should they essentially handle this loved one, this friend, this stranger even, who's going through this situation?
I think one of the things would be that I'm not lazy. I'm just in pain because I'm dealing with my own body, feeling like it's almost betraying me or giving up on me. Although, the body is doing its best to really, I think, keep us alive, keep us healthy, and fight whatever's going on inside. But I'm not trying to be difficult, say, as this person dealing with endo and being a friend, being a family member. So I'm not trying to miss appointments on purpose. I'm not trying to just not show up. I'm not saying it's an excuse. Sometimes, yeah, people make terrible choices, but just as this person dealing with endo, I wish, people around would know that it's not with ill intention, not trying to, say maintain relationships and that sort of thing. So just to be gentle and to know that, like, it's not that I can't handle pain, it's just that it's so much. It's so much, and that's affecting not just me physically, but mentally as well, possibly financially, where I may have to give up my job or my source of income or find alternative ways to make an income. So it's navigating this. And so it's just be patient, it's a whole body disease. And I think it goes beyond the body. It's also a mental battle. Yeah, just to ask for a little bit of kindness and patience. Yeah,
And so to end off this incredible, incredible episode, thank you once again for just coming on to share and to just be vulnerable, about your experience, and to just so willingly share the knowledge and the experience and the information that you have and that you've gathered on your journey with endometriosis. But what would your advice be to other endo girlies or endo warriors, and their friends and family on how to just live a happy and healthy life beyond the disease?
Wow, firstly, thank you so much for having me and just like allowing the space to share about endometriosis. It's not easy dealing with it. And so anything that I would say to someone that is dealing with it is just, don't give up. Don't give up, because I think sometimes you might want to. So often you might feel like so much is against you and you get to the point where you're just maybe not coping, or it gets hard, just to say don't give up. Healing is never just a straight line, It'll be tough and then it'll be okay. It'll be tough again, but in all of that, to know that if you've gotten to this point, you've survived all your worst days. So just keep going, and I hope, I'm confident that it will be okay eventually.
And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to this episode. Thank you for tuning in once again. Obviously, such a great privilege to always have these conversations with really, really cool people that are dedicating their lives to amazing causes, but just living out their purposes, right? Fully and intentionally. And even if they don't fully understand or know or even believe that they're walking in their purposes, I think it's just absolutely incredible for them to just be living a life, ironically, that is in purpose, like on purpose and just intentional. And that is to the full, making the most of every single moment, but also sharing this with others and helping others through every single one of these moments. So this is my thing. as well through the podcast. That is my way of trying to live such an intentional and fulfilling life and to leave, I don't want to say leave a legacy necessarily, but just to leave almost a handbook of audios that people can listen back to, that they can read in transcripts or in blogs or whatever in years to come, just be able to help themselves, by looking at the roadmaps of other people, the journeys, the stories, the experiences that other people have gone through, and be able to empower themselves, equip themselves with the necessary knowledge, the skills, the tools, and gain access, to that which might have been really hard to gain access to in order to unlock their true potential. So that's a little bit of Sakina Speaks in a nutshell. And thank you so much, Bunke, again for giving me your time. And keep saying thank you because you guys are really special. And you owe me absolutely nothing, but you did give me your time. So you could have been having a beautiful cup of tea and just relaxing after this day of work, or on your side, probably the day is about to begin or has already begun and you're about to get into full swing, but still highly appreciated.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the space, and just continue with what you're doing, and we'll get to making a difference one podcast at a time, one interview, whatever it is that we're doing. Just continue to move forward,
Absolutely. So on Instagram, go and learn from Bunte. Go and connect with Bunte. It is endometriosis.za, and that's where you'll get all of the info, greatest treatments, just her documenting her journey as well. So if anything, it's also just a safe space for endo girlies and endo warriors to just also be a part of a community that recognizes you, that understands you, and then validates your existence because you are beautiful, you are incredible, you are amazing, and your life, just like Bunte has modeled hers to be, should not be defined by this experience that you're going through, albeit that it takes up a lot of that experience. You should still be who you are based on who you are, what you believe in, and what you love, and not necessarily what you're going through. So let me spell that for you. endometriosis.za. And of course, Sakina Speaks. Sakina, SakinaSpeaks_ on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Okay, so connect with us. I know that you will be more than willing and welcoming of your questions, curiosity of your interest in good time when she can respond. So do that and just educate yourself, guys, girls alike, whether you are an endo girly or a warrior who just wants to share the experience, please do connect. Send me an email. You'll find all the details on the social media, and you can send a voice message, or you can even respond to the poll and tell us what was the most impactful thing that you found in this episode, or what did you enjoy the most, what did you learn, what touched you the most, what changed your life about this conversation, or in this conversation rather. So yeah, take care, stay blessed. It's been an amazing, amazing episode, and it's going to be many more like these and then some, where you just get to learn, where you just get to connect, but most importantly, where you get to take something with you that can change your life too. So stay blessed. Mwah. Sakina has spoken.